Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Macko and Cause podcast, Saturday edition of the show. By me saying it like that, it makes it seem more special. They're all special. How you doing, Bob?
I'm good. I got my shot the other day.
Hey, nice. So, how'd that go?
You know what? It was good. It was weird. I got it Thursday late afternoon, and Friday was actually pretty cool. I was sort of groggy and a little tired, but actually last night was worse than Thursday in a strange way. Woke up in the middle of the night. It was cold, kind of achy. So today I feel a bit dumb. I'm just warning you now. It's like being hungover without the booze.
That's exactly what it is. I had all of that. I had about like 6-7 hours of same thing. Headachy, tired, drained, and I got the chills. But you know me, Bob, I never get sick. So it was both annoying, but also sort of a novelty as well. I'm like, oh yeah, being sick. This is what it feels like.
The only way you could get sick, Matt, is to take a needle and jam the illness into your body.
That's right. Yeah.
100%. You're being force-fed. Force-fed illness. So it's good. Correct. I feel really good.
Good.
In the big picture, obviously, as you did, you sort of said how it gives you a sense of, not relief, because it's the first step out of a bunch of steps, but it's better than not having taken any steps. So we're going. We're on our way.
The moment after I got the shot, I told you, we went to some underground nightclubs. We hit a buffet. I'm living my best life, Bob.
I am going to eat from the salad bar with impunity when the time comes.
Oh, God, it's, yes. Like these buffets are like, oh, no, they will now serve you. That's not the point. I want to do it on my own so I don't get judged and shamed for the amount of breaded torpedo shrimp I want on my plate.
Don't even care if there's a sneeze guard.
Oh, no. Let me just dive right in. So,
speaking of diving right in, so if the draft is about to go, but day one and two are already in the books. We tried to get together yesterday, but you and I were just too much and we couldn't get it together. So we're committed to the two things a week, though. So here we are, 11 a.m. on a Saturday doing it. Your Giants, how do you feel?
Okay, so it's been a whirlwind of emotion. Mm-hmm. Day one, they actually trade down, which seemed to make sense. So everyone's praising the Giants. They traded down with Chicago, who moved up to get Justin Fields, the quarterback from Ohio State. But then the guy they drafted was a receiver from Florida, was described as a gadget receiver and not polished. So now I'm sad, Bob. I'm sad. And I look up and the grade, it's a B-. So I'm feeling bad. But then...
Mel Kiper, won, though, gave you a
good... Oh, well, that's what happened on day two. The Giants, again, trade down for a couple extra picks with Miami. They take some linebacker from Georgia, and there's nothing but praise. And Dave and Mel Kiper is praising the Giants. And the Ringer is calling the Giants one of the winners of day two. And then, Bob, I Googled who this player was who I'd never heard of. And, Bob, the most magical thing, this was a player projected to go in the first round, and the Giants got him at number 50. Bob, I'm over the moon about a guy I've never heard of before.
Nobody ever wonders why the guy dropped. It's just that he dropped. Like, Timothy Liljegren was supposed to be drafted much higher. He was as high as number 2 on people's rankings at one point. Dropped to 15. I remember when he dropped to 15, Matt, I almost cried. It was like the Leafs had done something so smart. Oh, you other dumb 14 teams, you missed this. He's fine.
It's fine.
He's fine.
Yeah, it does, but it doesn't matter at the moment. See, that's what the draft is. It's hope trading. We're selling hope, and it's during a time when there is no other football going on. It is the perfect methadone drop of football for fans.
See, I disagree with you slightly. Mm-hmm. I think it has been selling hope, but with the prevalence now of grading and really advanced scouting and really intense scouting that we all have access to, I don't think they're selling hope. I think they're selling certainty. The reason you were sad that Mel Kiper gave you a bad grade is because he just doomed your team. You already know the outcome. You saw the grade.
But now he loved day two, and everyone is praising Dave Gettleman. Bob, I've never in the history with him taking over as the GM, never one point has anyone said anything nice about him. Now they are. It's great.
It's really weird when your team, and, you know, as Leafs fans, God knows, and Raptors fans, too. We've seen enough screw-ups. We've seen enough Rafael Arujos walk through the door. We've seen enough Tom Curvers instead of Scott Niedermeyers to know maybe my franchise isn't that good. And then when they get smart, we had this with Masai first, and then the Dubas era came in. I mean, you know, we'll call it the Lou era, to be fair. You almost have to get used to it. Like, you almost sort of don't believe it that your team could be smart.
Oh, it's true, because you still have memories of bad drafts, bad seasons. Wait a minute. How much money did they give Jeff Finger? Like, I remember exactly where I was on planet Earth when the announcement that the Leafs had signed Jeff Finger. How sad is that? I know exactly where I was. And so to go from that to smart is, yeah, it takes time. You know, it's like you're getting the bends going from one to something completely different.
Okay, you ready for a deep dive on two different on two different fields entirely? You ready for this? This is a cause special. You ready?
Jeff Finger
is the Marissa Tomei of hockey. There was the suggestion that Jeff Finger was actually not supposed to be signed by the Leafs, but that Cliff Fletcher got the wrong guy. This was urban myth, you know, urban myth. I don't see how it could possibly happen. But if that's true, then it's like the urban myth of Jack Palance on the Oscar stage, supposed to read Judi Dench's name, but actually reads Marissa Tomei's name for My Cousin Vinny. And so she wins Best Supporting Actor. And it was supposed to be a joke. And he realized, oh, this has gone too far and there's nothing I can do about it. Ergo, Jeff Finger is the Marissa Tomei of hockey.
I love it, except that's an insult to Marissa Tomei, who was awesome in My Cousin Vinny. And Jeff Finger, the only thing he was awesome at was getting money.
Yeah, it's true. Although, if you're going to be at awesome at anything,
That is a good one. And Bob, by the way, that is a great analogy. That's a perfect analogy, because you're right. We all heard that was a complete mistake by the Leafs.
So, you know, geez, I feel the problem with doing this on Saturday is we don't have the excitement of the Aaron Rodgers debacle to talk about the way we would have yesterday.
But it's still going on.
Yeah, exactly. We still got, you know, there's more than enough tail on this cat to go for a while. So what do you think?
Well, I mean, now that the whole Deshaun Watson situation is mired in that ugly, you know, sexual assault or sexual misconduct with all the masseuses, and now all the focus is on Aaron Rodgers, you know, and where he's going to go. And I think teams, and I know part of it is about salary cap, that Green Bay owes him a certain amount of money on June 1st or whatever. So if he's going to get traded, it won't be after a certain date. But I'm not here for money and salary cap talk. I'm here for speculation. And to me, the biggest loser is the 49ers. They should have traded that third pick overall to Green Bay and taken Aaron Rodgers, a team that is the 49ers that are built to win it all. With Aaron Rodgers, with Kyle Shanahan, that to me was the trade that should have happened on Thursday night.
Well, and he's a California guy too, if that matters.
Yeah.
If that matters. Everybody talks about Denver trying to put together a package for him. I imagine there's probably, well, I don't know, 31 teams that would probably do it. Maybe 30, maybe hang on to Patrick Mahomes. That's about it, though. That's about it. I wonder to what extent.
It's a small list.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder to what extent the Tom Brady winning the Super Bowl created this scenario. If that was actually the straw that broke the camel's back. Because no, actually, I've got a name for you, and I'll circle back to this. We can talk about Brady, but I have a specific name that I think will go down as the name that probably pissed him off more than anything.
Which one?
Kyle Pitts. Atlanta at number 4 has a chance to take Justin Fields, right?
Yep.
And if they wanted to make the case that Matt Ryan was tired and he was a guy that they could develop over a season or two while Ryan sort of played out the string, I think people could understand that. Although Ryan is still a very good quarterback, it wouldn't be a crazy thought. But they decided, Atlanta did, that Ryan had enough in his arm that rather than get rid of him, they needed to get him some weapons. So they went out and got him this unicorn of a tight end. Now we'll see how he does. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm thinking, wait a minute. You've thrown so little at me for so long, and you have a first rounder and you pick Jordan freaking Love, and Atlanta backs up Matt friggin Ryan has more respect from the Falcons than I have from you guys. I mean, I realize this happened after the announcement came, but if I was him, I would look at that and say everything that's about to happen they asked for.
I'm going to add to that, Bob. The Packers, they could have in the first round on Thursday taken a wide receiver, sort of like a cheating husband giving his wife diamond earrings. What do? What do? They draft a defensive back. Right. They take someone for the secondary. And I'm going to throw a name at you. That's why Aaron Rodgers is pissed off. Okay. Mercedes Lewis. Okay. That is, he is the only first round draft pick that ever caught a touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers. That is the only first round pick. And that was the guy that spent most of his career with Jacksonville that Aaron Rodgers threw a touchdown pass to. Every weapon he's had has never been in the first round because Green Bay has taken him for granted. It's like, oh, we don't need to spend a ton at skill positions because Aaron will make a B player into an A minus. So they've taken him for granted for the last decade.
That's a great point about how if you're looking at the opportunity that an Aaron Rodgers affords you, you're right. You can get a good receiver and he'll be really good because you've got the best quarterback in the league and probably, you know, certainly, you know, who knows who the GOAT really is, but let's say if you want to call him Rodgers, sure. Yeah. He'll make okay guys look really good. You know what I find really interesting about this? Aaron Rodgers wants out.
Yes.
Russell Wilson wants out. Last year, Tom Brady wanted out. Drew Brees retires. He never had to actually go through it, but he was on the verge of having to make that decision. Do I move on past the team, you know, with whom I've been for so long? And this makes me think a little bit of the NBA in the sense that the NFL for so long has managed to keep their best players pretty happy, even in markets that don't make sense. But I kind of feel like Tom Brady leaving the Patriots and going to Tampa Bay and winning in his early 40s has made all of these great quarterbacks look around and saying, what are you doing for me now, franchise that I put on the map and made tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars for? And that's a very NBA kind of thing. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to go full James Harden with the pouting. I wouldn't be surprised if this gets uglier than we're used to, though, in the NFL.
Yes, and it should get ugly. It should get ugly in Green Bay because Aaron Rodgers wanted an extension. He wanted to stay. But what did Green Bay want to do? We want to restructure your contract. Basically, help us out more now with money issues. And Aaron Rodgers like, no, I just want an extension. I think it's going to get really ugly, Bob.
Could you imagine if the NBA had a franchise tag that it could put on its superstars for a year or two?
Oh, I would love it.
Could you imagine how different that league would be and how much less power those players would have?
Oh, it would be so different. It would be night and day. And by the way, the one difference between the NBA and the NFL with the quarterbacks is we're talking about Brady in his 40s, Aaron Rodgers, 37. Like, at least then it's players that put in their time, you know, for the decade plus with one franchise, did a lot of winning, did everything they could do. That's different than Paul George, Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving, James Harden. You know, a lot of them are guys that have been in the league for 5-6 years or in Harden's case longer, but not doing as much winning. So that for me is the one difference.
It's a great point. The instinct is to say Aaron Rodgers, you don't want him to turn out like a Kevin Garnett. If Kevin Garnett had stayed in Minnesota, you know, backwater franchise, a Hall of Fame talent, but never really had any success. But that's not the story. Really, with Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, it's closer to LeBron deciding to go to the Lakers, where he's a guy who's put in his service. He's done all you could reasonably ask him to do for a market. He had an owner that didn't even like him and wrote an ugly op-ed about what a piece of shit he is. He still came back and won his hometown a championship. So
yeah.
No matter how, like James Harden, you can always say, yes, he's maybe the greatest offensive player in history. Certainly the greatest offensive player today, but he has no titles. As soon as you win your team a title and it's like you win your team a title, all bets are off. You can ask for whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, of course, it's funny. If Harden wins in Brooklyn, in fact, if Brooklyn wins this year, we're not going to be as impressed. We're not going to be as impressed than when Steph and Clay won the first year in Golden State, or when Dirk Nowitzki won, or when Wade and Shaq won in Miami. Like, there is tears to this championship thing.
Well, and another little team you might have heard of called the Raptors, who won with Kawhi.
100%. Why didn't I say that one? Yeah.
It's not big in the Toronto market. It wasn't a big story. You know, I'm still tired. I'm convinced it's partially the COVID vaccine, but also partially game six. I wondered, as a quick sidebar here, I'm not 100% sure that I'm not rooting against the Raptors a little bit because I don't think I can do that again right now.
Just the emotional toll, like last year against Boston, the emotional toll of every game.
Charlotte still thinks of that as the moment that Daddy lost it. We were all cheering and then she stopped and she looked at me kind of afraid and she was like, Dad, what's going on? Honey,
well,
You know, 1895.
It's a good point. Like when your kid who sees you as one way, as calm, logical, happy guy, sometimes, you know, has to apply discipline. But when she sees wild, emotional guy, dad, just because someone on the TV set did or did not do something with a ball, that must be jarring for a kid. It's like, what's dad doing?
She had the thought all people should have when people lose their minds in sports. But we know better because we're part of this world. And that's something that gets you going. The Bills is an interesting case, just to go back to the NFL draft.
Yeah.
I'm now, and I don't know if you've ever gotten there with the Giants, but they got a couple pass rushers. You know, we talked about how their job was to stop Kansas City. I suggested they start with Travis Kelce. Clearly, they're thinking they'll start with Mahomes. And that the way you stop a genius quarterback is you take away his time. So that's clearly what they're thinking. But did you ever have a draft where you go, my team's pretty good. Yeah, it'd be nice if these guys worked out. But even if they don't, that's okay.
Yeah, like after they won the Super Bowl. It's got to be that. Like after they won the Super Bowl, the stakes were not as high about who they took or what draft grade they got.
It's funny because being a Bills enthusiast is kind of like following the Leafs in that you don't even have to win. You just have to show up and be respectable. And that can really hold you for a while. They were 13-3 last year. They probably should have been 14-2. Josh Allen, you know, legitimate MVP candidate. They just did so many smart things after doing 20 years of dumb things. You should probably ask for more, but you're used to asking for so little. It kind of holds you over. Like the Pat Quinn Leafs.
You know what it is with the Bills? Is they also did something we haven't seen. They took a quarterback that didn't look great and developed him into a star. You still got that to live with.
It's such an interesting thing you bring up because all of these guys where they get drafted because they've got rocket arms or innate athleticism, and someone says, you know, their developmental project, we'll just have to coach them up, see how it goes. When does that ever work?
Rarely. Rare. Like Josh Allen, like you talked about unicorns with Kyle Pitts. Josh Allen went from a guy who was inaccurate, turnover prone in college, except Mel Kiper. Mel Kiper loved him. And then his first couple of years, you're like, ooh, I don't know if I can win with this guy. He's too much of a roller coaster. And now he was the top three MVP this past year. It is an incredible story of patience, of development, of franchise stability. Like all these words we're using, we never used those for the Buffalo Bills for decades.
The jump between college and the NFL must be truly incredible to think that all those athletes who are amazing in college, so few of them, particularly at the quarterback position, but the gulf between success in college and the success in the NFL is so big. And I would argue not just even out of the gate, but maybe more importantly, like guys just don't seem to get better. It's like you either have the tools to do it or you don't. There's not a lot of guys who are reclamation projects that work out. You're either really good or you're just not.
Yeah, there's a reason why we talk about Kurt Warner all the time. Because it's the exception to the rule. And what I said on my show the other day about buyer beware, about drafting a quarterback, here the reality is the best case scenario for these teams is they get the next Jay Cutler. That's the best case scenario. Productive, played 12 years, but only two seasons did he have a winning record. And a lot of that was because Chicago's defense. That's the best case scenario for teams.
I was thinking about the Denver Broncos on draft day, because obviously as it got to 9, you thought, oh, is something crazy going to happen? Or are they going to take a quarterback? And then I looked at some of the quarterbacks that they've chosen recently, and Drew Lock, oh, he's going to be our guy. Paxton Lynch, oh, he's going to be our guy. How many guys were going to be their guy? Nobody was their guy. But on draft day, everybody makes the case. He's got potential. Look, if you can't do it right away, you don't have potential. You have potential to be a backup.
And then the other side is you got to go to the right spot. You know, like Trevor, like the funny thing is that you can argue that Trey Lance, who has thrown the ball like 350 times in his collegiate career, has a better chance to be a great quarterback than Trevor Lawrence, because Lawrence is going into the Jags. That's right. A bad team. That's a bad franchise. While Trey Lance is going to Kyle Shanahan, and there's weapons all over the place and a great running game to protect him. That's the other side of this equation. You got to have a good landing spot.
Jared Goff looked like he was going to be a bust, and then he pulled out a fairly productive career and looked like a pretty good NFL quarterback. And you got to wonder how much of that is just Sean McVay. Like, anybody would have been good. So here's my analogy. Lindsey Wagner. Lindsey Wagner was the bionic woman. And nobody would ever say, Lindsey Wagner, what a thespian. Did you ever see her in the bionic woman? But She won an Academy Award for a movie called The Paper Chase. She was Best Supporting Actress. And my dad once said to me, do you think sometimes that a script and a director can just be so good that nobody can fuck it up? That's kind of how I felt about Jared Goff under Sean McVay.
Right.
The Lindsay Wagner Oscar year. Nobody was.
I got to tell you, Bob, that analogy, even better than your last one. And nothing scratches the itch more for me than when you're tying in an obscure Academy Award winner with then like a 70s TV show.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the vaccine. It's the sudden 5G boost that I got, but I'm on fire.
Damn, you got the good stuff. I was just given a couple of Flintstone vitamins and said, here, this will cure you of COVID.
My wife went in advance. She said, we better get you comfortable because you'll be sick. Because I'm always sick. You're never sick. I'm always sick. And I have a kind of a Victorian heroine, damsel in distress kind of swooning that happens. You know, I get the vapors.
And I'm the jerk that says, walk it off. You'll be fine.
My wife, Sandra, knew I was trouble when one time I had a fever and she was sitting next to me and she was just kind of helping me out. We were dating, but we were dating seriously by then. So we weren't dating so little that you would avoid a sick person. And she tells the story fondly of how I lifted my arm and looked at it and said, my arm is macaroni.
Not exactly Steve McQueen.
Yeah, not exactly. Oh, look, it's cool handed. And his arm is macaroni.
More like tepidly warm soup instead of cool hand Luke. That's best I got. I got one last draft observation.
Sure.
Because the one thing every draft needs is the uncomfortableness of the one guy left in the green room, and we all kind of feel bad for them. And it worked out perfectly. It was Mac Jones where, you know, last 2 weeks, everyone's shitting on him. He shouldn't go number three. And then at number three, Mac Jones realizes the 49ers were lying the whole time. And then he's sitting there, pick after pick. His tie isn't straight. And it takes till pick 15. And all the other players are being taken. And we had it. Uncomfortable player in the green room. No draft is complete without it.
Two observations. One, when he finally did go on stage, he walked on stage like Vince McMahon walking out on the runway during a WrestleMania. He had a strut. The other observation is, and, you know, we should actually do a whole show dedicated to sports realities that are named after one guy. And what he had was the Brady Quinn.
Yep.
Was it possible to not think of Brady Quinn when you were watching him sit there?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Brady Quinn and that smarmy smile and his girl and his blonde girlfriend next to him. I was thinking about that the whole time.
It's like the Sam Bowie, right?
Yeah.
Like, he was a productive player. He had a good NBA career, but somebody passed on Michael Jordan to take him. He'll always be that guy. It goes back to that thing we talked about a couple weeks ago. You never want to be that guy.
No. It's like you never want to be the drunkest guy in the room. Just be the second drunkest. No one will remember.
I heard this great line about Twitter. Every day, someone is starring on Twitter for the wrong reasons. Don't be that guy.
How would that feel? Oh, my God. Imagine if you go on Twitter and you go to the trending and your name appears. Like, how nerve-wracking must that be?
Can you imagine if Off the Record was on, like, if it had started with the vitriol that was levied at Landsberg, but during the social media? Like, we just did like random emails where people said, Landsberg, you're an idiot. But can you imagine if we had 24/7 access back then to people's opinions?
God,
it would have killed him.
Oh, that'd be horrible.
He would have loved it.
Yeah, no, that's true. I got to tell you, I get a treat. I've had this happen where two texts will come in. One will say, Cause is the most embarrassing thing at TSN 1050. He should be fired. And then the next person says, that was a great rant. You know, it's you ain't going to please everyone.
The thing is, and you and I both had this when we were together and even separately in the sports world, we're not the leading man in the sports world for different reasons. You're funny and you're self-deprecating and you have this pop culture knowledge that you love to have fun with, and you love fun. And I think a lot of sports guys love that about you. But deep down when it comes to it, it's just a world of alphas. And so you refuse to treat yourself as an alpha?
Yes.
And I think if you wanted to, you certainly could. Your knowledge is spectacular, especially when it comes to football. But, you know, that's just not the kind of life you want to lead. And for me, I was always a little bit, I was kind of critical of sports in a way that I think most sports guys don't really want to be. And not necessarily negative, but even just like, I like to think about stuff. And when it comes really down to it, people just want to hear, so was Ben Hutton any good or what?
Yeah, they don't want to hear about the mythical nation building and patriotism that's interwoven in hockey and how that can be dangerous to our society. We just want to know, Liljegren, how do you look out there?
I never thought sports was the most important thing, which makes it hard to lead a community of people who think sports is the most important thing. You know, it's a world of alphas. By the way, I've gotten a lot of texts this morning. Am I this important?
Oh, you've gotten a lot of texts, Bob? I wouldn't have known, aside from the blindingly loud ping of like, are you on a submarine? did Sean Connery just go one ping only?
They're different people, too. This is great. Not for you guys, not for but for me feeling important. This is wonderful. Because we do got to go. I've got to run a couple errands, and we're really shoehorning this in to make sure we keep up with our 2-a-week pace. Any other draft observations in the few minutes we have left?
No. That's good. That, you know, I got it all out there. I'm pretty satiated. A fun night. We did a Zoom party. Tom, my friend from Australia, was part of it. Five of us were on a 3-hour, 40-minute draft Zoom party on Thursday night.
Now, did you eat?
No, this was already had dinner. But, you know, there was snacking and there was wine. So there was that M&M's, peanut M&M's and Gamay.
Your friends are a lot of fun, and they're especially fun for this kind of thing. I think I've told this story on this pod before, but I remember your friends have always treated me as an honorary member of the group.
Yeah.
You know, I guess because I'm similar to a lot of them, and you and I have been close pals for a long time and we all just get along. But I remember when we all went to see Freddy versus Jason together. And there was you and about 11 of your buddies from Etobicoke, and I tagged along, and you guys were all such obsessive Friday the 13th fans, and we were there at the first showing on the first day. It was like the midnight showing, and at the final battle between Freddy and Jason, you know, Jason takes a knee and Freddy has really got him on the ropes, and I can't remember which one of your buddies it was, but somebody jumps up and yells at the screen, "Jason, get up!"
Yep.
Two things your group loves, man. Friday the 13th and football.
That is true. You know, that is, I don't know what that says about us, but yes, those are two staples of our lives.
Well, you know, as Stephen Colbert once said of George Bush, Matt, you think on Wednesday, whatever you think on Monday, regardless of what happened Tuesday.
There you go. It's a much easier way of living.
You know, you seem happy.
Yeah, I get by. You know, it's like in terms of fame, one time someone recognized me and I got free tartar sauce at my favorite place to get a fish sandwich at St. Lawrence Market. I'm like, that's a high enough level of fame for me. Free tartar sauce. What's that?
At Buster's?
Yeah, Buster's Cove. Got
Buster's?
Yeah, someone's like, wait, are you Matt Cause? They recognize my voice.
Oh, that's adorable. I love that. That's great. Okay, one final story, and then I got to run. I remember I was in Newfoundland with Landsberg for the Junos back in 2002, and we were at Chez's Fish and Chips, and it was this really famous place, the kind of place where you even get like a little paper thing that they would sign saying, you know, I've eaten at Chez's Fish and Chips in St. John's. And so we were there, and they couldn't, like, they were falling all over themselves. Hey, TSN, oh, it's so great to see you. And everybody's lining up and taking photos. And, you know, 15 minutes goes by, we eat our food, and then they bring the little thing over to him, right? He didn't even need to ask for it. They signed it and gave it to him. And we're walking out, and he looks at it, and he looks at me, and he turns it around. You know what it says?
What?
Just to certify that Mark has eaten at Chez's.
Off the record with Mark Landsberg.
I hope he kept it. We couldn't stop laughing. Way to go, Mark. You've really made a name for yourself.
Fame is a fleeting thing. Oh, that's great. Hey, before we end, real quick, the podcast brought to you by our lawyer, Jeff Pollock. If you need a lawyer, jeffpollock.com, Jeff with a G, jeffpollock.com, 416-777-0088, 416-777-0088. What do you got on the go for the rest of the weekend, Bob?
I'm going to try to get my kid together with some of her friends for some masked up walking and goofing around. And then tonight, you know, I got a bunch of work to do, but I'll probably work in front of the TV and enjoy the hockey game.
There you go. You got the Leafs game, then Raptors, Utah. That's
I've stopped watching. I don't like rooting against them. I'm rooting against them. I've stopped watching.
So you're now in full mock draft mode.
Yeah, I have been for a while. I have been for about a week and a half now. And the game against Denver, I kind of wanted to see Denver play, and I actually didn't watch because I didn't want to root for them. I liked them. I like them. And they, you know, they remind me of the Raps in the sense that they have a superstar, and, you know, the Jamal Murray thing's so unfair. So I want to root for them, but not against, you know, I couldn't do it. It just felt so wrong.
Yeah. Sports, man, it makes you dirty. It makes you do dumb things, and it makes you get excited that a 70-year-old Mel Kiper likes your second round pick from Georgia.
Look, if Edmonton can get four of them, why can't we? You know, we had Bargnani, but that shouldn't count. I want Cade Cunningham. And if we have to suck to do it, so be it.
You're not alone with that, Bob. All right. You have a great weekend. Hope
you too, pal.
We'll catch up on Tuesday, okay? Yeah, take care.
All right. Thanks.
Bye, Bob.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.